Welcome to the Drunk Guys Book Club, where books aren't just for school, where book clubs aren't just for women, and beer makes everything better.
Well, I'm Mike.
I'm Nate.
I'm Jimmy.
We're the Drunk Guys, and this week we're reading Born-E by Jeff Vandermeer, and I'm drinking a beer. So this book takes place in a post-apocalyptic future, and our main character is Rachel.
From Friends.
Is she? Yeah, she has the same haircut still. And she is going around. He's like, could this be any more shitty? Just looking for scraps of shit, scavenging, finding weird things that we'll talk about, I guess, at some point. But probably one of the things she was looking for was like some dead wax.
Probably.
And I saw this and I was like, whatever. I'm getting drunk today. I don't have work tomorrow. This is from Foam Brewers, which I've never seen this in New York. They're from Vermont. I had it in Vermont once. It's like, oh, I'll try it. And it's an IPA. And that's all they tell you.
The rest is guesswork. Much like this book.
It's a mystery, just like this book.
That's really fruity and delicious.
Also like
okay.
The book.
So this book came out in 2017, and people have been saying, what was that about ever since? Jimmy, you picked it, though. So why don't you start us off? Tell us anything.
Well, I picked it because I read it a long time ago, and I liked it a lot back then, and I didn't remember anything about it. It turns out, even after reading it, I still remember just as much. But yeah, it's Vandermeer who blew up, you know, with Annihilation and the other ones that were similarly named with A's that I also read were also similarly vague.
We did that one, didn't we?
We did Annihilation, yeah. But we didn't do the other two. And now there's fourth one.
We did do the other two.
No, we didn't.
No, we just did the first one.
No, I think we did.
Did we?
Yeah.
No one knows. No way.
It was way back in the before times. So
what are they called?
We
did not. I bet you.
It was like the other A words. Allegiance.
Assholery. Allegiance.
Arborist.
We just did that book.
That's not. It's called the Southern.
Reach around.
Yeah, Southern reach around.
Anomaly.
Authority Amelie. And acceptance.
It's
Annihilation.
That
authority and acceptance.
Yeah,
we did not
and now,
do those two.
Yeah, because I remember Nate said because we read the first one and you had read all three of them and you're like, they don't really figure anything out by the end. And we're like, okay.
Oh, okay. Well, maybe that's what it is.
Well, because they were lady scientists.
I read the rest of them on my own, but yeah. And I liked the movie, despite what other people thought about it.
I tried watching the movie and I fell asleep. It was the most boring, weird thing.
Yeah, I like weird. It was very weird. It was just weird. It wasn't good. It was just weird, which I'm okay with sometimes.
I think that's this guy's thing.
Yeah, this guy, Jeff Vandermeer, he is very big on vague and weird. So this is Born, and it's about a guy who is something, and a lady finds this. They live in this world.
Okay, so no, wait.
There's a bear.
Up. There's a lot of things. First of all, it's a post-apocalyptic cityscape. It never tells you exactly and it's sort of a ruins of a city. It never tells you exactly what city it is, except I think it's Salt Lake City, Utah. Or it could be something else. Who knows? But
it would be the most interesting thing to ever happen in Salt Lake City.
Probably. So that was the first. Anyway, it's
it was pretty clear because the bear has eight wives.
And they keep calling the bear Heavenly Father.
Yeah, and that's how desperately the bear is trying to not be gay. He has eight wives. Like, look at that big bear. He's like,
not
no,
that
I'm
kind
straight.
Of bear.
So anyway, so it's a city, a post-apocalypse. It's just a ruin. Rachel is a person who like scavenges. That's what she does. But in the city, but it's in this futuristic, like, place where biotech has just gone crazy, where there's so much biotech. And one of the things that you find out along the way in the book that the company invented was a bear that just it, but it's like smart and smarter than
the average bear. Is it is it Yogi?
Smarter than
He's
the average bear.
For big picnic baskets,
but also it just keeps growing. And just keeps like eating things and is like a menace and can fly. And at this point, it's multiple stories tall, yet somehow can fly. No one knows how it can fly because it doesn't have wings.
Neither does Mord.
Yeah, it doesn't know anything either. But anyway, and so
that's bear logic.
very beginning of the book is a description of how Rachel, the scavenger, sees Mord, the giant bear, sleeping, because, you know, it's still an animal, so it has to sleep, and sees this, like, weird, bright green glowing thing on it. She's like, I know, I'm going to climb up the bear and grab that thing, and then just because it's got to be something interesting.
Maybe you
and so she takes it home.
Because they just eat things and get high from them. So he's like, maybe I can get high
like
off
minnows,
of that mollusk.
Like a drunk on minnows. Anyway, so Mord is a big giant monster, and so are other things created by biotech. You know what else is a big giant monster? A Yeti. And so this is Yeti Confetti by KCBC. Fruited sour.
That's what I call semen.
Does it have like fucking glitter in it?
I hope not.
I think they were. He won't see it. Nate will just
it'd be in
have hand. A glittery shit tomorrow.
Because I had the unicorn farts one in it. I was disappointed by the distinct lack of glitter, as promised. That's the only time in my life I was sad not to have glitter, because every in other time food. In my life, it's the fucking worst thing in the entire world.
Sour ale with strawberry, raspberry, and currant.
So it's not old.
And barley and wheat, yeah. So no glitter and currant, so it's not old.
Contemporary beer.
Yeah.
Current events.
This is a current event for it. And it's nice, yeah. It tastes mostly, it's kind of like strawberry. It's a strawberry fruit and sour, which is nice.
Much like Yetis.
Well, any other flavor would be abominable to me.
Snowman. That's stupid.
So Rachel takes the thing back to her secret lair. And it's like, this is this weird, like, jellyfish sea anemone thing. And it just, like, sits there. And eventually she calls it Born. And there was an explanation why, but I can't remember what it was off the top of my head, why she used that name.
I don't remember either.
Anyways, she, like, and so she has what she calls a quote-unquote apartment in this little, like, hovel she lives in with Wick.
John Wick, but it's like balcony cliffs or something like that.
It's like a bunch of apartments built into a cliffside.
That's what I wasn't sure if that was like the name of the planned development.
It probably was.
I know. Yeah. Sounds like a planned development, but it also sounds like they just kind of dug it out. But also, no, there's like they escape through a...
There's an air duct later.
Air duct. So
it
must be...
They're living in apartments that existed before the fall of civilization. They're like in bad shape, and a lot of those hallways are like fucked up, and they can't get through, and they can't get into certain apartments. But they are it's a pre-war building, you know.
Terrible storage, but my feelings.
Heating is free, though. It's included.
It's got that charm. A lot of detail.
Tenement lifestyle,
yeah. Yeah,
yeah. Tenement Core.
Tenement Core? That's like the worst band ever.
Yeah. It's like all this, it's just hardcore punk, but everyone has tuberculosis.
And they all live in the same room.
Well, that's actually like a lot of actual punks.
That's true too, yeah.
Back in the day. So she lives there with Wick, who is a drug dealer of fish. Which actually, fish probably has a lot of drug dealers that follow them around. But
and of beetles.
Different kind of fish.
And of beetles that can either wipe your memory or give you new memories. Which is
or
only
explode.
Mentioned. Which is, for the most part, only mentioned once right in the beginning and then not until the very end.
Also, weapon beetles that can be used for shooting somehow. It's biotech. He's a biotecher. This is book's version of magic. Is whatever you think of, they did it with biotech. Usually it makes an animal that does something
else
weird.
It's science fiction's version of magic. It's just technology that couldn't actually exist.
He breeds minnows that are full of booze, and then you can eat them and get drunk. Like making a live rum ham.
Yeah, they just has these weird, even better Swedish fish.
Swedish fish are fucking awful.
It's okay to be wrong about this, Jimmy. Swedish fish are great.
They taste like someone read about candy and then said, I can make candy, and then they forget to put all the fucking sugar in them.
That's the people of Sweden, probably.
Yeah, for people of Sweden, like, this is decadent.
But it has to be from Sweden, otherwise it's just a sparkling red fish. It's from Norway. So that's happening, and this is explained... And you're like, okay.
It's thanks. Said it's said more than explained. He's very big on just saying things. It's like a lot of sci-fi does that, where it's just like, we're just going to say things, and through context, you'll pick it up 83% of the way through the book. Like, oh, that's what that word means.
Well, her, eventually, at some point, a bunch of evil rope, like cyborg little rascals break in. And they torture Rachel for a while. And very specifically, they do not do anything sexual to her because they were too young, but they're evil enough that they like carve random words like boob onto her, probably because they were children, and torture her for hours and eventually leave. And she's like, that was terrible. But in the process, we will find out eventually, Bourne like ate those children. the weird octocephalopod tulip, that amaryllis bulb she has on a shelf, eats them.
So at first, it's just Bourne is just this like sea anemone thing that just sits on the table and kind of seems to do nothing. Except she noticed that all her worms are gone because she has like a compost kind of thing, because you would have to do that, I guess.
They grow some random food, I guess, she mentioned.
Yeah. And she's like, huh, those are all gone. That's weird. And then other random things, all the lizards, that because they're in a desert kind of city, all the lizards just like disappear. And you're like, huh, that's bizarre. And then she notices that, you know, she'll leave for the day doing her like, you know, 9 to 5 scavenging job, and then comes back home and Bourne's in a different spot. He's completely motionless, but just the thing, the weird sea anemone thing, is in a different spot. It's like, that's weird. So anyway, gradually it starts to like emit weird scents. So it can like has this like smell thing, but also when the kids come in and attack her. And then it's when she's recovering from that it starts to talk.
But she says, right, it sounded like one of the kids for a hot second.
Because it's learning. Because the kids stole Bourne. And then he comes back. And she's like, how'd you get here? And when he starts talking, he sounds like the kids. Because he's just copying how the things talk.
Right, and it just starts learning, and she, instead of going like, that's fucking weird, and Wick is like, let me take that thing apart and turn it into more drug fish, she's like, no, he's my baby, I borned him. And he's like, that's okay, all right, this is the conflict of the book now, I guess.
Well, the real mystery is that they know this thing is alive, and it's like, you know, eating things, and Wick notices, it never seems to excrete anything. It doesn't poop.
Another lie from Everybody Poops. Exposed. But he becomes a bit of a superhero sidekick for her now. And that's the name of this beer, Superhero Sidekicks from KCBC. And it's fine. Keep drinking it. But then she like wants to teach it things, and it's like starts learning shit. Like it just like learns to read. And it also is like this weird T-1000 Alex Mack kind of thing now. It could change form.
He's constantly changing form. He's like a he's like a blob of, you know, if it was other sci-fi, this would be nanomachines, but he's more like jelly meat. But there's no internal parts. It's just whatever form he wants to take. And usually he's an eggplant-looking thing or a little vase or an enemy. Sometimes he's the whole ceiling. And he's always got a different number of eyes because he can just grow eyes and get rid of eyes as he at will.
But she's like hitting, it's like reading books and it's asking her questions. And it's like, you know, like a child in the beginning because it's asking like really dumb questions. You know, like, you know, what, where, why, what am I? And she's like, oh, I'm fucking tired. I don't know. If I can just sleep, you're a born. He's like, okay, that's an answer for a kid. And, you know, I could tell you that is a lot like talking to young children. They say things that you're just like, that's great. Like, you don't even need to respond. Or you like, that's cool. Can you also put on your shoes when you do that? And
nope.
And Wick is like, I really don't trust the talking jellyfish monster. And she's like, just let him cook. He's cool. And this goes on for a while. And eventually he's like the size of he's like bigger than a person and it could turn into people. And he's like, Rachel, what is dildo? And she's like, don't worry about it. Just make one for me. And he's like, they just have. And then he just like sleeps in her room and asks her questions for a very long time. not exactly superheroes, but he is the sidekick.
So eventually, so she's recovering, so she has to go out and start scavenging again, and she's like, okay, Borns, you gotta stay, you know, I gotta go out and scavenge, and then she goes out, and she notices some, like, really, really weird-dressed person, like, following her.
Just like a wizard.
Yeah, and she's like, well, she says, Born, is that you?
And he's like, pass.
And he's like, no. And he's like, what are you dressed as? And he goes, I'm a wizard, like in the books. And it was funny. I actually laughed at that. Also, I feel like that's symbolism.
Because his head is his hat. Because he can make clothes that look like clothes, but it's also just his meat.
But also, the symbolism of the weird creature that can do these weird things. When it asks, what are you? He says, I'm a wizard.
I'm a metaphor.
I haven't met the first three. And one of the things they pass that is apparently a symbol, a thing that's going to come back in the book, the three dead guys that aren't astronauts, but she's like, those are astronauts, so stop asking me dumb questions.
So yeah, she comes across
guys in hazmat suits.
Intersection of three dead people in hazmat suits. So, like, what did they die of? Who knows? But Born thinks they're astronauts. And then later in the book, when Born moves out of Rachel's apartment into his own apartment, he's like, I had to decorate. So she goes in there, and the three dead people hanging from the ceiling. He's like, I decorated.
It really ties the room together.
It's a mandolier.
It's a triptych. A little reminder of death scenery. And
Rococo corpse. There we go.
Rococo corpse. Oh, yeah, very nice.
So she's out scavenging.
No, we were playing that game.
She's out scavenging with Born, and suddenly
it's definitely very gothic in style.
It's very goth. So they are hiding on this roof because they hear, like, the little mutant children again. These kids have, like, bug eyes or, like, claw hands. Some have, like, wings. They look like little, you know, hybrid insect children things. And they're like, those are fucked up. Let's not get eaten by those. And they're hiding on the roof, looking down at them. And suddenly, a bunch of fucking bears show up. And there's a bear-bug fight. And the bears are like little mini-mords that he just buds off or something. No one really knows where they come from. But also, they can, like, talk, kind of. They just kind of mutter stuff. And they got big claws. They say Dirk. Yeah, they're very
racist. They just saw Boogie Nights. Dirk, Diggler. Like,
oh, see the dick really? On that guy. And also they
I didn't know he could also act, Mark Wahlberg. It's pretty impressive.
Just that range. Once. Just that once.
So how do you mother for me?
He played someone not from Boston. And then the bears eat all the kids, and also they can do poison. And later on they learn how to set fires. So it's like, okay, they're just like,
oh my God,
bears everywhere.
Did you say they poison? I'm just getting
poison bears?
Poison bears? It's like they are venomous villains.
Oh my God, how are you doing this?
Got about 19 more beers just lined up here. Anytime.
Are you going to be okay?
That's a fucking book. And this is also from KCBC. And it's a West Coast style IPA. So its house just burnt down. Oh my God. Tastes like back in the day. It's great.
It tastes like nostalgia.
You know what also tastes great though? Supporting your favorite podcast or just the podcast you tolerate listening to.
And bear meat.
I have been told bear meat is delicious.
You have to pick the hair out of your teeth at the bar. Oh, that kind of, never mind.
Oh, yeah. That kind of bear meat can be kind of greasy. I was told by a Bulgarian man, so that's how you know it's true.
Oh, yeah.
And he's like, bear, he goes, if it has been eating, I don't know what their accent sounds like, if it has been eating berries, is the greatest meat you can eat. I was like, I'm going to take your word on that. He said, if it has been eating fish, it's disgusting. I was like, that's a gamble. You're going to kill that creature. I'm like, damn it. It had the wrong lunch for me. Anyway, if you want to support this podcast, you can head over to patreon.com/drunkguysbookclub and help us out by giving us monies.
And just buy us a beer.
Buy us a beer.
If you're having fun, just, you know, give us some money enough for a beer. That's
or
it.
A bear.
Don't make us have to drink the alcohol fish. I don't want to live in that world.
Isn't that Sermstrong?
It's just like we're pledging a really awful fraternity that has a nautical theme.
Eat these Everclear soaked sardines.
Sardines soaked in vodka. Oh, God. That's actually...
Is that a thing? Is that a thing people do?
I think we just invented it.
If you can think of it, someone has already done it on the internet. I'm guaranteeing that.
But have they...
Also, Rush exists. They definitely fucking ate that.
So yeah, you can help the podcast out there, or just leave us a review, or you know what, yeah, there's comments on Spotify. Leave a comment there, a nice one, like, hey guys, you don't suck so much, or whatever. I can't bear to wait for the next episode. More episodes, please. or tell someone to check it out.
Born them. Much like Born is out there trying to get more input, like Johnny Five. And he's just reading everything.
Like, Los Lobos, fuck your face. What the fuck was that poem?
Los Locos kick your balls into outer space.
Yes.
I'm sad that I know that. That's Short Circuit 2.
They go bigger for
back
the
in
sequel.
The habit.
bigger and browner face. Was the working title for
Yeah, there was some brown face in that movie. Did you ever see that, Nate?
I saw the first one.
Where Fisher Stevens plays an Indian guy.
I saw it, I was a kid. The first one, it's about the little robot thing, right?
Well, it's a full-size robot.
Both are about
the robot. Okay, so I have definitely seen the first one.
Yeah.
I'm possibly even seen the second one, but I would have been a kid.
It's like a robot made out of like a Commodore 64 and a toaster.
And he gets struck by lightning. And gets life, much like Born. But also, there's another character in the book called the Magician, who is the other force to be reckoned with, aside from the company. And the Magician is a mean lady who wants to destroy
like
the company.
Tarot cards you can get.
The Magician, the water cooler.
Your future will be hampered by the company. Like, damn it, work.
HR. And the Magician wants to kill Mord. Because Mord honestly kind of sucks and is killing everything. And it's a fucking bear the size of the Empire State Building. You'd want to kill that, probably. I made that size up, but it's big.
In any other setting, the Magician would be described as a warlord or a gang leader who just like... And her gang is recruiting these kids and giving them these weird like bug eyes. And they go out and like kill things for her.
She's biotech-ing them.
But she also has like a invisibility suit or something like that, invisibility robe.
Yeah, she's sneaky.
She's called the wizard. Harry Potter.
And at one point, one of the other conflicts in the book is that the wizard, who like controls a lot of territory in the city, is trying to recruit Wick because he used to work for... He's a scientist. He's a biotech scientist who worked for the company before he like quit in disgust and tries to recruit Rachel because she... is good at things. I think that's it.
She's good at scavenging. And, you know, and she comes and she could probably convince Wick to join because she wants everyone to join up against Mord and the company because Mord was made by the company and they don't control him, but, and he doesn't really protect them. He just kind of leaves them alone for most of the time and goes out and does his own thing, keeps everybody else on their toes. And there's a bunch of people still in the company living in it like some sort of like doomsday bunker.
But then, around halfway through the book, Mord is flying around. Remember, this is like a three-story tall bear.
Three stories on its side.
Yeah, that can fly. Bigger than that. And there are missile launchers. So the Magician has somehow acquired missile launchers and working missiles, like heat-seeking Sidewinder missiles that like... And then she shoots the bear. It doesn't die. So it's like singed, but not dead. And then it sort of like destroys the missile launchers. But then it also destroys the company like headquarters building.
He's very angry. He's taking out his angst on whatever he can see. And the only thing that really is like sitting in, because everyone else is hidden except the company. The company is just out in the open as this giant kind of like egg-shaped dome living it up out there. Not living it up, but like not hiding because no one's going to come for them. But then Mord is like, fuck that place. And so he tears it open and starts eating everybody inside, like a kind of like a big beehive.
Yeah, kind of.
Eventually, Rachel walks into Wick's room and sees Rick talking to her And she's like, what the fuck? And she realizes fucking Bourne is pretending to be me. And sometimes, I guess, he was pretending to be Wick and talking to me. And they're like, that's fucked up, dude.
He had just done that in the previous scene. She's like, man, Wick is looking strange today.
So Wick wakes up Rachel in the middle of the night. It goes into her apartment because they don't like live in the same apartment, except they fuck all the time. And he just goes, do you love me? And she's like, what? Why would you wake me up in the middle of the night for this? And sends him away. And then she's like, I really couldn't sleep. So then I went down to Wick's room and there was a person talking to him and it was me. So it's like, oh my God, Bourne has just taken our form and he's been impersonating us. And I realized that when I've been arguing with Wick, I would go, I never said that. Like, and it's like, oh, because he's been impersonating them. So she's so upset and they're so upset that they send Bourne away. Like, you have to leave. And also, this is the point where they realized, oh, Bourne has been eating people. The reason why he keeps getting bigger and the reason why he keeps knowing things is because he keeps eating people. And also, he's like, so when all those little children who attacked me, when they took you away, how did you get back? Oh, he ate them. He ate all of them, all like four or five of them. And that's how he got back.
You know, good. Fuck those little rascal kids.
Yeah, they were mean. But he's also just been eating whoever he comes across in the ruins, like all the other scavengers, little random people. Just mum, mum, mum. Delicious.
Which there are apparently a lot of people, you know, of sizable amount, but like there are very few scenes with them, which I thought was kind of odd in the book.
Well, everyone basically lives in like sealed off hovels because you don't know who is crazy. Because like Rachel kills a lady earlier on because people just try and survive. And, you know, it's post-apocalyptic, so everyone's out for themselves and they'll try and kill each other. So everyone's always hiding. It's rare that you like come across someone you don't know. Or like they mentioned, like Wick has his usual drug beetle clients and minnow clients, but they get less and less of those as Bourne is eating them.
So this is when she kicks him out of the apartment?
Yeah, she kicks him out and she reads his journal.
And finds that his closet is filled.
It's like 175 shirts in here.
Well, when you remember the, get rid of the fucking astronauts, just put them in the closet. He's like, closet's full. And it's filled with the clothes of all the people he's eaten. It's like, there's like 70 shirts in here. And a journal.
And they were delicious.
And his journal is just weird. It's like an early chat bot going crazy. Just like, I am born, I am unborn. She calls me born. I am not he, she, they. I am me.
I mean, it is kind of like a toast. Fucking chat bot learning how to pretend to be human.
Did you ever read the original like book of poetry written by an AI in the 80s? The policeman's beard is half constructed.
I've heard about it, but I never know.
They're just like terrible. Just incoherent. Like, just everything's red herrings. Like, there's no... just chaos happens. It's very funny. But that's what Bourne's journal feels like. But so she reads every word of it, except for the ones that are written in the languages of people he ate that didn't speak English.
Mormon.
And it's Salt Lake City, so one of them is the original golden tablets of Joseph Smith.
It's written in Nephite.
Yes. It's a restored Egyptian or whatever the fuck it was called.
So there's this part of the book where it's like, well, what is Bourne? Because he like eats people. But it's like, that's what I do. Like he's a predator, you know, like he's a predator, you know, designed to eat people. And it's kind of like, this is my nature. It's what I do. I eat people.
Because when they find him,
and he feels bad
because he could be a weapon. Because, you know, they live in a world where weird biological things are made as weapons. And he's like, you don't know what the fuck that thing is. And she's like, no, he's a little baby. He's not a weapon. He's a little baby.
I'm telling you, we can get really high from that thing.
I guess the book could have gone into this more, I guess. But it's kind of like, well, in the wild, predators, they have to kill and eat things. They have to kill things to survive. Like, and so we... as people are like, don't kill people. That's wrong. But like cheetahs,
they kill people all the time.
They have to, but we don't have to do it to survive. We don't have to do it for sustenance.
Sometimes you have to do it to get an erection, though.
Or so you hear.
That's how I've been told.
I mean, I guess if I was, this is not the kind of book I would normally look for like themes and metaphors in, just because it's weird sci-fi, and you know there's always some, but it's not like, ooh, what is he really trying to say? But it could be said that they kill people all the time too. You know, she and Wick have to kill people to survive, and everybody else in the outside is killing people to survive. They don't eat them, but some people do eat them. So, you know, let she who has not cast the first Mormon stone.
Yeah, Mordman.
Mordman.
Shit. He's a very Jewish bear. Mordman.
So she's end up like, she's scavenging again. She comes across this like group of children living in like some, you know, old burned out thing. And they're like, we want you to take this kid to the magician or something. And she's like, she's going to kill him. It's like, no,
first they're like, she sees a bunch of scavengers. And then one girl's like, hey, can we trade? Oh, and she's like, there's like a bunch of traders. And then there's like this one hulking mass of a guy who's clearly shitty at trading and scavenging.
He can't talk.
He's just kind of lurking. And she's like, I know who he is. And she's like, okay, I'll go discuss with you, but my partner has to come with me. And they're like, that guy's your partner? He just like lurks around sniffing things. And she's like, yep, it's him. And then Born, of course. And then they're like, we'll trade you. What do you got in your pockets? And she's like, I got like a half a beetle. And they're like, all right, deal. Beetle for a kid. Take him to the magician. And then she's like, Mord, show them your final form. And he turns into like an octopus juggling chainsaws or something like that and scares them. And she's like, I'm out of here. And also, they're roasting an everlasting like slug Yule log to stay warm.
Oh, it's a slug that gets off on being set on fire.
Sounds like my ex. So then they...
What?
So she like hooks back up with Bourne. He's like, can I be your friend again? Can I live in your apartment and sniff your panties again, please? She's like, no, dude, it's over.
I learned a lot from that. You eat a lot of pineapple. And she finds out he's been eating the Mord. They call them the Mord proxies, which are the lesser bears, which are still much larger than regular bears. And also they breathe poison. And also their claws are poison. And they set fires. And they're very racist.
How do we know? We don't, but we could.
Big, assume. Racist, poisonous bears. It's like, I don't like Filipino twinks. Who asked?
And Bourne is like, hey, I've been trying to be better. I'm only eating evil people and people that are almost dead. She's like, how dead? He's like, pretty dead.
She's like, how dead was he? He was pretty dead.
He says, he was dying. She's like, how dying? Pretty dying. It's like a child describing when it like pulled the wings off a butterfly or something. He's like, it was pretty much dead. He's like, I could change. I could do better. You make me want to be a better anemone.
And she's like, no, you got to stay out here and keep doing your penance. And he's like, that sucks. And so she goes home, and she and Wick are vibing, doing sex stuff, as they always do. And then they get attacked by bears. And they're like, ew, girls! And, but yeah, the bears break into the where they live, and they have to crawl out, and they escape through all the holes and the air ducts. And he's like, we can only go one way, and that's south into Mord territory. She says, that sounds Mord bad than where we are. And he's like, please stop. I wish you were dead.
It's Mordor. It's like, I think that you can't use that name.
Mordor what? And it's Mordor the magician. But the bears chase him out, and they end up running into this place where they can hide out next to a well. And they're like, we got to keep going south, but we have to go into the company because I have diabetes and I need my insulin shots, but like high-tech version of that with magic pills. And if I don't get my pills, I will die because I've only got
insulin is made out of nautilus shells.
Yes. And he needs them. So they've got to go south.
RFK's plan, RFK Jr.'s plan.
Except you got
to
boof him in that case, you know.
No red dye number 40 in it. That's the important part. And then he also is like, I have a letter. Take this letter just in case I need to explain some plot later when I'm dead.
Yeah, we have to have the last act reveal.
He's like, let's go to the company. Oh, by the way, I knew Mord back when he was, you know, Benjamin, you know, Ben.
Dave from accounting.
Yeah. Ben Mordstein. And then, you know, he got turned into a giant bear. Like, well, you know, some guys like lifting. And he's like, no, it's not like
look,
that.
Look, we were doing a lot of cocaine back then. Something got out of hand with the experiments, and now there's a, you know, 300-foot tall bear that can fly. But also, Mord, at one point, forgets to fly. He can just, like, he keeps trying to jump. He's like, why? But, like, embarrassed. So, like, whoa.
Yeah, it just like, stands on buildings and just whiffs it. They're like, oh, he's going to be really mad.
And so they're going to have to run to the company.
So they, like, break into the compound. But most of it's underground.
Well, because Mord destroyed half of it. All the above ground parts.
Yeah, but because Wick used to work there and he knows all the stuff about it, he knows that most of it is.
I hope they haven't changed the passwords. It's still 12345, right?
So they like break in, and so and one of the Mord proxies, also known as the normal size grizzly bears, almost kills them, but they like get in and slashes and poisons Wick.
They scare it off by banging a pot and putting their hands up, and it's like, ah, and the bear gets all freaked out.
How did you get so much, how did you get so big?
I thought this was a small person. So now he's double dead. He's poisoned and he has diabetes.
My low blood sugar is leaking out.
So they go through the, like, so they're like, you know, going through the tunnels, they're like tunnels underground and like finding stuff, and they're like, we'll go around the whole compound, and then eventually they find at least some of the pills that Wick needs. But then they like, also they're like, what's under there?
We forgot one very important thing. Right as they were going into the company, Bourne shows up and he's like, I know how to make everything right. And then he turns into a giant Mord and goes to fight Mord Godzilla style.
Yeah, so there really is like a Godzilla fight going on in the city while they're down in the tunnels.
So this is after I stopped reading. This is actually what happened to you guys just fucking with me.
Seriously, no, he says, I'm going to make it all better. And he turns into a Mord-sized copy and starts to go fight Mord. It's all happening off page because they're in the company this whole time.
That's a real bummer to not show that.
So they're down in underground in the compound, and they find, and they get to like whatever the central area is, or the central control area, and they get in, and she finds at least something important, and then she comes out and is like, huh, there are boot prints next to Wick is like now unconscious because he's been poisoned and he's also sick and stuff like that. So she comes out and, wait, there are boot prints here. Did you see anything? And he's like, no. So she follows them, and it's the magician. The magician is like, I know more about you than you think. Won't you work with me? And then suddenly she's like, no. And then I killed her with a rock. And then they also have a conversation. But
well, so, you know, it's, you learn basically at the beginning that Rachel was a refugee with her parents from some other, you know, place, and
somewhere with brown people. That's the only detail.
They mention that frequently that she is quite tan.
I wasn't sure. I was trying to guess. Is it like India, Africa, or the Caribbean? Because it's islands.
I'd say it's closer to something Indian or Caribbean.
I was like, is she from like Mauritius?
Yeah, she's very specific.
The Maldives? She's, like, where did she come from? Yeah. There's like island of brown people next to a country of brown people, and that's really what she gives.
Sri Lankan.
But
yeah, and this is when,
well, she kills the magician, and then she says she didn't know I had already read the letter, and then you get this whole letter that Wick wrote to her, and she, in the letter is like, you should read this in case I die. So she's like, I already read it, and here's what it says. She's telling us, the reader, because the book is actually written in first person and almost like it's a diary. I mean, it is not like diary day one, but it's almost like, here's what happened to me. It's written in past first person past tense.
Reflecting on it, because like there's often like,
yeah,
I didn't know then what he meant. It kind of comments.
Yeah.
So she's like, it's all reflected.
The chapter titles are like, what we did then and what we found inside ourselves, or like, what happened with the fire?
There was a little Mord in all of us.
And she says that she had arrived in the city as a not only as a refugee, but literally in a supply crate sent to the company. And for the company, they need like biological samples all the time and biological like stuff. So her parents were literally like murdered in front of her because it was like sent to the company as like
fresh meat,
biological material, and they were murdered. And so Wick says, the first time, you don't remember the first time you met me. This is what actually happened. Like, I found you as one, as just like literally in the middle of the compound, like in total shock because you had just seen your parents murdered.
They had left her, they had these pools of like dissolving fluids out front in the salt flats where they just throw all the old weird monsters that they made that didn't work very well. So they left them out there to like rot. And he found her out there wandering because the company was like, oh, just throw that one outside and she'll just die on her own and we'll make her into meat paste later. So it was fun. They're nice people.
And then later you came to me and said, you need to wipe my memories. I just don't even want to remember this. I don't. And he's like, okay, because this is where the very beginning mentioned that he has these beetles that can either wipe your memory or give you the memories of another person, of real memories extracted from another person. So
get rid of those memories that bug you.
That was probably the slogan.
There you go.
That was it.
Because they were making these things, you know, as products to sell back in the day, ostensibly.
So he says in the letter, so I did it, but I couldn't. You said, oh, just turn me into an entirely different person. Just like completely wipe everything and give me something entirely new. It's like, no, I couldn't do that. But I did. Like, I couldn't bring myself to do that. It's not like he wasn't able. He just, like, didn't want to. So I just took away some of your memories, your most, you know, the very, like, brief point of time. And then later, you found me again, not knowing who I was. And you were an adult then.
Totally, yeah. An adult.
Yes, and I didn't plant that memory that the age of consent was 15.
Well, what she also reveals that she knew from back when they were living in the apartments, looking through all the other apartments, is she found boxes full of old parts of things and people and a lot of different heads and faces of Wicks. So he was never really a person either. He was something that the company made also. She's like, whatever, I can fuck this robot. Meat robot.
Oh.
Yeah, yeah. And then later you found me in my hovel and then we became a thing. So
the pills he needed were like batteries for his robot. And he's like,
well, he's not like an actual robot. He's still like,
yeah, he's a meat robot,
flesh, but
he was constructed. I forget. He sold her memories to the magician. And
that's how the magician's always like, I know more about you.
Yeah. And so that's why she killed her. He's like, actually, you fucking suck. Because the magician was like looking at some, this is where it gets even weirder. And it's, it gets to that full Vandermeer part where you're like not sure what's actually happening or if it's possible or if there's actual magic in the book we don't know about, where the magician is looking at some big screen and she believes that it is like a window into another world or a dimension. She's like, we can go there. That's places we can go there or bring that here to us. All we have to do is do it. And she's like, okay.
Because it's a city that's not destroyed. She's looking at a screen at a city that's looks normal the way a city we would think is supposed to look.
And you're like, fucking, is it? Maybe. It's possible, but it's more like she's just looking at a screen and she's also, everyone's lost their mind. But she gets beaten with the death of the rock and you're kind of left wondering what the fuck that was, as you are for most of this book.
Okay.
But it turns out you can't out magic a rock. It's like rock, paper, scissors. Magic.
The fork. The fourth symbol is...
Is it jazz fingers or
spear fingers? Like wave my fingers around, yeah. That's the fourth one. Yeah, always wins against rock. Okay, so then she manages to like carry Wick out the building, out of the hovel, out of the tunnel. I mean, and get him out of the building, and he's like almost dead. But then she sees that Mord and Born are still fighting, and Born is losing. It's like, oh no.
And Born has now reverted to not being a bear. Now he is a mass of tentacles and spikes and eyes. Big jellyfish.
Then she sees him like, oh, he changes strategy. He realizes that he can't defeat Mord as just Mord. He can't defeat the bear as the bear because he's, she sees Born just like stretch out really, really wide and sees Mord like attack him and then Born just like envelops the bear, envelops the giant bear, and just like dissolves him.
They shoot into the sky and disappear.
So Bourne defeats Mord, but also dies.
Okay.
Yep. And then, so she manages to like get, like, so Wick is, starts to get a little bit better. They make it back to their original cliffside apartments or whatever it was called.
The balcony cliffs.
Yeah. And so the whole city, this whole like big, terrible thing is now like, you know, been lifted from the city because both the magician is dead and so is Mord.
And also it starts to rain for the first time in a long time, a lot. And it's raining magic rain that rain makes man. It's that's what the bears are loving it.
I need some bear proxies. It's raining, man.
But the rain, whenever it falls on something, it starts to grow little plants that like live and die very quickly, and it's like changing the atmosphere and the environment. And after a while, it stops, and a lot of them dies, but a lot of it doesn't, and it kind of heals the city and wipes away the evil stuff, cleans the river up, which is, you know, there's that river in Cleveland that sets on fire or whatever the fuck it is. Is that Cleveland?
Yeah, it's like every spring, just lights on fire.
Nope, time for the spring fires. And, you know, evolution goes on. The little bug people go home to their families, except the ones who are really buggy. They're just like, they live out still being bug marauders. The bears are all kind of settled down. So they're like, what if we just had little other bears? And they're like, yeah, let's do that. And they have little cubs. And Rachel adopts the kid they were going to sacrifice. And
teams.
And teaches him to do stuff. And she also finds a tiny little Bourne and pushes him on the windowsill. And Wick is like, that thing is, it's going to Bourne us again. And she's like, no, he's not going to Bourne us. And he just stays small.
But she does say, if it ever starts to grow or starts to talk, I'm giving it immediately to Wick to like take care of it. Because like, we can't do that again.
Can't eat everybody a second time. Things are like much better now. Still sucks, but sucks less.
Right. That's a baby Bourne. Baby Bjorn?
It's baby Bjorn. It's
baby Bjorn. I thought it would have been really funny if when he kicked him out of the apartment and she meets him and he's like, Bourne, is that you? It's Bjorn now. It's actually. People call me Bjorn out here.
Put an umlaut over the O.
Yeah. The J is silent. Okay. Wow. A lot happens in that last 41 minutes of book I didn't get to read.
Yeah, a lot does.
I don't know if I really want to endure that. I guess I should, because I'll feel bad. I can't put that I read it if I didn't actually read it.
You're so close.
I'll finish it. That's like one shit where I hide from my family for 40 minutes. I can do that.
Long shit.
It's a lot of family to hide from.
Asshole's going to be chapped.
No, it's only a superpower. I could sit on that toilet and hide in the bathroom for days. My wife is, honestly, she doesn't know whether to be mad or impressed by how long I can hide in that bathroom for my children.
My me time.
What do you guys think?
Yeah, I mean, this is my second time, so what did you guys think? Nate, you finished it. What did you think?
Okay. It was very confusing at first. I mean, it was actually very confusing the whole way through, but it was especially confusing.
It was also
at first. Even more so. But actually, I liked it. I enjoyed it. You know, I do like science fiction, but also it's like, yeah, this is really weird. Any like science fiction that's about biology is even weirder than science fiction about physics, I found. It's just because biology can just be so much stranger. Then we get into like alternate dimensions, which is the physics thing. That can be pretty weird too. But biology is just very strange. And I definitely did not guess that Bourne was going to be just eating people. That like this is going to be like a, like a 50s sci-fi B movie.
Where the blob.
It's like this blob just like eats people, you know? Didn't see that coming. But I thought it was cool. I actually did.
I thought he did a good job of making it just such a... You know, when you make like a monster in a movie or in a book, it's like feasible. But this was like so fucking weird that it felt like it's not even alien. It's more alien than like aliens are. Because when we see aliens, it's like, oh, it's a fucking thing with two legs and it's got a little nose, but its nose is a different shape. This is something that is, it can be any shape at any time. It has just random numbers of eyes. It can just make them and make them disappear randomly as it wants. It doesn't really have a mouth. We don't know how it eats. It doesn't actually have internal organs because it's like the entire thing is made of just the same goo that just reforms as needed.
And it's like a really big amoeba.
Basically, yeah. It's like a giant unicellular
thing. Or a character from Gumby.
It kind of is a character from fucking Gumby.
It's Prickle.
Yeah, it's one of, like, one of those clay. It's a, basically like a clay thing that just shapes as it wants. And it's fucking weird as shit. He does weird as shit very well. Does it make sense always? No. Is it always great? No. Ever? Definitely not. No.
Does it make sense ever? No, not really.
No. But, you know, it's weird enough.
I looked up, as I didn't like the beginning of the book, it wasn't until about 40% into it, I was like, all right, now I actually care.
Yeah, his books don't have a learning curve as much as a learning wall.
Yeah, it's the vert wall from American Ninja Warrior. But I looked up, I was like, what the fuck is this book about? And the Wikipedia page has no summary, so I couldn't even cheat. But I found a Reddit post where someone was like, should I read Born by Jeff Vandermeer? And somebody wrote, it's kind of like a combination of like body horror and a family drama.
It's like, about, you know, it's about how hard it is to raise a kid.
When your in kid is age, an amorphous claymation blob monster.
Like, that, you know,
people.
You teach them what you try to teach them, but sometimes they learn the lesson a little weird. And like, you're just doing your best, but in the end, they're their own thing. And all we can do is really just put in our best effort. And sometimes they turn into serial murderers. And not because you touched them, just because they're born that way.
But he redeemed himself.
He ate, I mean, Mord.
He meant well. Maybe there's the whole book. He's like, I just want to eat more. I'm like, all
right, that's foreshadowing,
you've had,
right?
You've had enough.
He's practicing for an eating competition the whole time. He's eating bigger and bigger things to stretch out his stomach before the July 4th hot dog contest.
He's like, Rachel, who is Kobayashi and why is he a bitch? There is the part where he says, what is a dog? And he says, a meal on four legs. He's like, what is a hot dog? I didn't say that, but.
And how many of them can I eat?
You know what? I don't remember shit about Annihilation. But this, what I do remember, this is much more coherent than that.
Oh, yes. It's much more coherent, but also Annihilation is, it's technically three books. So there's more that happens afterwards, though it's equally incoherent. It maybe even more so. Oh, no, definitely more so, actually. Yeah. And that was
I understood what was happening. I didn't understand why it was happening.
Oh, you're not supposed to. I think these are the ones where it's like you're not really supposed to know. And in the end, I guess, does it matter why it's happening? No, it's just, it is. Roll with it. I mean, I gave this book 5 stars the first time I had it. I lowered it to 4 this time. I still liked it a lot, but it wasn't like incredible, but I had a good time. I like how fucking weird it is. There is a sequel that I haven't read that is universally hated.
It's like a sidequel, right? It's
something like that.
Story,
yeah,
in
know.
The Bourne universe.
It's called like the Dead Astronauts. Maybe it's about the astronauts. I don't know, but like no, I haven't heard good things about it ever.
It is. It's something. The something bird. The strange bird or something like that. Is that what it's called?
I think it's called. It's called Dead.
It's the second one, August 2017, released a novella called "The Strange Bird: A Bourne Story," and then 2019, Dead Astronauts, a standalone novel
set right.
In the Bourne universe.
Okay,
yeah,
so
you are both right, and there are two things.
That doesn't feel good. I don't want us both. To
I didn't
right.
know that. I didn't know the Strange Bird thing even existed. But there was a full sequel. But I have heard nothing good about it. I suppose it's like almost like purposefully opaque and weird to the point where it's like just ununderstandable.
So you're saying that one shouldn't have been born?
No.
Okay.
I should have terminated it.
Oh, no. So where's my coat hanger? Okay. So who should read it then?
If you like weird books, I wouldn't even say like necessarily like if you really like sci-fi, because some people like sci-fi. If you like hard sci-fi, definitely not.
No.
Oh, this is flaccid sci-fi.
This is gelatinous.
It doesn't even pretend to try to explain any of the science. It doesn't even like make up a scientific explanation that doesn't make sense. It's just not even there. It's just the there's just it's just there's science. Biotech. It's just they're in a world where biotech is a thing that does stuff, but that's that is as deep as the explanation goes.
Yeah, you know, I'm not sure what I like more or what I hate more. Neil Stephenson telling me about the fucking electrons in the guy's mouse as he clicks on his computer explanation level, or this complete lack of explanation.
I mean, they're a very different thing. They're almost separate genres. Like this is technically sci-fi,
weird fiction.
Yeah, this is more like this is closer in some ways to like fantasy. It's just biology based as opposed to magic.
It's almost a Lovecraftian kind of stuff.
Yeah, it's only called sci-fi because they mentioned biotech. If you had not said biotech and like evolution did these things, they'd just be like, "Oh, this is a weird world people live in."
That's still science,
allegedly.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Rothschild science. So it's a fine book.
It's very weird, and it's definitely not for everybody.
I would say it's also for autonomous blobs that learned how to read. They would read this book and really enjoy it.
Something that really speaks to me.
Finally, someone gets me.
Representation
is important. But I would say it doesn't hold your hand. Instead, it's more like it gives
hand?
You its hand and then cuts off the hand and then runs another direction. It's like, have fun with that hand.
And then that hand turns into something else.
Yeah, and then you look back at the hand and you're holding a ham. And it's like, get it? Like, no.
Yeah, he does a lot of like slant rhyme things, but with like concepts.
Yeah,
because he's learning. Like, he's learning stuff, and he's like, he gets stuff wrong all the time. And it's like the BFG, it's like right or left. It's like, no, that's not what that means.
Dude, I'll tell you again that is children are like that.
Maybe this book really is about the perils of raising a child in a modern dystopia.
And your kids eat your fucking dreams, fuck up your life.
Or in this case,
now we got to move out of this apartment. We can't fit here anymore.
Don't open that closet. It's full of my cum socks. I didn't know you were making paper mache.
Yeah, that was the real meaning.
All right, tell us what you thought. Wrong, send us an email to truckguysbookclub@gmail.com.
Or follow us on social media things at our name.
And on Goodreads, where you can read... If you have fingers, eyes, combinations thereof.
Ears?
No.
Well, audiobooks allegedly count.
Okay.
They'll let you count anything on Goodreads.
Yeah, he'll count anything.
Oh, yeah, count. Count those books slow.
And check out the Hopped Up Network, a network of independent beer podcasters. And thanks for listening.